Get your Bibles out. Let's make a confession over our Bibles this morning. We're going to need all the help we can get. Say, this is my Bible. It's God's Word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today. In Jesus' name. All right. Be excited. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to Romans chapter 12. First 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is focusing in on we are born again, we are saved by grace through faith. And in the second part of the book from there on, he's focusing on now that we know that that's who we are, let's live according to that. In chapter 12, verse 9, New Living Translation says it this way: don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of the good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Amen. Enthusiastically. That's our subject for this morning. Enthusiasm. We need some more enthusiasm in the body of Christ. We need passion. It needs to... If there's good things on the inside, and there are, they need to show on the outside. Amen. And it needs to be demonstrated in a way that people can see. And it's not all just, you know, hey there, hi there, oh there, I'm as happy as can be. But when you are enthusiastic about something, no matter what your temperament, it's going to show. And we should be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm, according to the dictionary, actually when you look it up in one of the dictionaries that has the etymology of the word, enthusiasm is from E-N, and Theo, which is God inside. When God is inside, we should be enthusiastic. Amen. God in us. Jesus in me, the hope of glory, praise God. There ought to be enthusiasm. Strong excitement or active interest in something that you like or enjoy, enthusiasm. Something inspiring, zeal or fervor, enthusiasm. It's for, actually the original word that's used there instead of enthusiasm is fervor in the New King James. And Dick Mills gives this definition in Spirit-Filled Life Bible. It is the opposite of dignified, cold, and unemotional. You know, emotions are not the most important thing, but they are an important thing. Amen. We're supposed to have some, and we were given some on purpose. So, praise God, they ought to show once in a while. Dick Mills said, in a Christian context, it signifies a high spiritual temperature inflamed by the Holy Spirit. High spiritual temperature inflamed by the Holy Spirit. Diane and I have a book that we read a chapter out of every morning, You Can Do It, even if other people say you can't, by John Mason. He has a chapter on kind of in this direction of enthusiasm. And he said this: nothing significant was ever achieved without enthusiasm. Jesus was a passionate man. He died for us because he loved his Father. He loved us passionately. Enthusiasm. He said this also: fulfilling God's plan is a passionate idea, or it's nothing at all. And he quoted scripture, Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 in the Old Testament, where Moses was instructing the people, and he said, serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Of course, we know that Jesus took that up in the New Testament and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, strength, mind, and so on. It's supposed to be to that degree. It's not supposed to be if I have time, if I'm feeling like it that day. I'm supposed to be enthusiastic, praise God. John Mason also said this: the worst bankruptcy in the world is the man who has lost his enthusiasm. You must first be a believer if you would be an achiever. So in a sense, he's likening a believer should by nature be enthusiastic. And when you really do believe in something, you are enthusiastic about it. Amen? See people starting a business, you can tell whether they're really into it or not by how enthusiastic they are about it. Even just somebody working for somebody else. Some people are enthusiastic about going to work. Other people are, I have to. And I believe God has a place for all of us where we can be enthusiastic when we're following his calling for our life. Now turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 1, because we've been talking a lot about disciples. And what I want you to think this morning and ponder on is this, that as disciples, we ought to be enthusiastic. The two of them ought to go together. not this old boring life. We have to be disciples. We get to be disciples. John chapter 1, starting in verse 35, we had some of the first incidents when Jesus was calling disciples to himself. And this is out of the New Living Translation again. So the following day, verse 35, John was again standing with two of his disciples, this is John the Baptist. And Jesus walked by. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and then declared, "Look, this is the Lamb of God." Then John's two disciples turned and followed Jesus. Of course, he didn't complain either, because what we're supposed to be doing is making disciples to Jesus, not to ourselves. Verse 38, Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. And they replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" You know, Jesus didn't always just say, "Oh, come, we're going to have a great time." He challenged people. Verse 39, "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place, and they stayed there the rest of the day. Now notice, Andrew, verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who had heard what John had said and followed Jesus. So in other words, Andrew started out as a disciple of John the Baptist and ended up a disciple of Jesus. The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. What is that? Enthusiasm, praise God. And tell him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "You are Simon, the son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, be my disciple." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Now, it doesn't say it there, but I'm thinking Peter and Andrew were already talking about Jesus in their hometown. They were excited, and so it was a pretty easy connection for Philip to go and get excited too. Praise God. You know, people, we get excited about a lot of different things. We get excited about sports. We get excited about food. We get excited about a lot of things. And at the basis of all that should be our excitement about Jesus. Verse 45, Philip went off to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Especially Andrew. You don't hear a lot about Andrew later on. Right in the beginning, you hear a lot about Andrew telling this guy and telling that guy and talking about Jesus. You know, again, Christians talk about a lot of different things, which is okay. But how much are we excited in talking about Jesus? It should come into play in just about every conversation in one way or another. You don't have to be obstinate about it. You know, you don't have to, it isn't a question of beating people, saying you're going to hell unless you find Jesus. You know, that rarely works. But what does work is caring about people. And the base of caring about people is because Jesus is in our hearts. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? Now, what happens, if you think about it, most of you are Christians, have been Christians for a while, is we start out this way because it's a new experience, but we tend to lose the enthusiasm and the excitement along the way. The writer of Hebrews talked about don't let yourself become sluggish, but stay with the enthusiasm. It has to be stirred up, because we live in this life and things happen and we have to work and we have all these other things that need to be done. But in the midst of all that, we need to stir up the enthusiasm, because the kingdom of God is furthered by enthusiasm. It's furthered by enthusiastic people. And we of all people have every reason to be enthusiastic. Heard the term an eternal optimist, which is what we ought to be, because eternity is working out for us. It's not just that we live forever, it's where we're going to be living forever that's a wonderful thing to be excited about, praise God. And eternity is just starting now, and when we get into that, probably won't even be time as we understand it forever and ever, but we'll be with Jesus, which is what really makes heaven a wonderful place to look forward to. But serving God is good here. Amen. Are these perilous times? Absolutely. Absolutely. Difficult times to understand. But in the midst of all that, we should be able to be enthusiastic. Praise God. Everybody say enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. All right, now, you know, it's just pretend that you are for a little bit, you know. I tried. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. Recently, we've looked at the scripture a lot. I want to look at it again this morning. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And what he's talking about is the Gentiles, people without God. We shouldn't be people with God living like we're without God. To walk is to conduct your life. Don't conduct your life like you're just another person who doesn't have God, has nothing to look forward to. Christians should be different. Let me try that again. Christians should be different. There should be a difference about us without having to try real hard. Again, without, you don't have to be obstinate. You don't have to be hard to get along with. In fact, we should be the easiest people to get along with, but excited about life. Don't be like that. And now it begins to list some of the ways that people are without God act in the way they are. In the futility of their mind. Futility means emptiness or purposelessness. Having no purpose. Purposelessness people are not much fun to be around. When you are working beside somebody who's just getting their time in, really hates every moment that they're there, but they need to get paid, and going through the day that way, it's just not much fun to be around, which is one side of the coin. But on the other side, are you one of those? Now, you may not be. Some of you may not be in the job that God wants you to be in the overall lifetime of your situation, but God can get you there. In the meantime, serve God with enthusiasm. Amen? Remember, Keith Flake, when he was here, talked about he was working and he really didn't like where he was working and was believing for something else, and God got in his case and said, like it where you are, and then you get something better. Learn to like where you are. Learn to enjoy where you are. Learn to be enthusiastic about where you are. And when you do that, you may, first of all, find out you are in the right place, but if you're not, God can get you to that right place by that attitude of your heart. In the futility of their mind, verse 18, having their understanding darkened. Earlier in this book, in chapter 1, verse 18, there's a prayer in there, and Paul prayed for these same Ephesians that their understanding would be enlightened. But he's saying people without God have their understanding darkened. But Christians who are acting like people without God also have their understanding darkened. We're supposed to have spiritual understanding. And you see, one thing leads to the other. When you're living your life as if it has no purpose, your understanding will be darkened. But when you start finding you have a purpose for life, you're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. Amen. And God ordained before you got here a great life for you. And he gifted you in certain ways to fulfill that life. That makes all the difference in the world. And then life begins to make sense. It's like somebody turned a light on. You begin to see, praise God. Goes on to say, being alienated from the life of God. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Now, Paul's talking about Christian people here. So obviously they're not spiritually and alienated from life. They still have the life of God. If you're born again, the life of God is in you. But they're not enjoying the life of God. They're not fellowshipping with God on the level that God would like them to. Do you know the trouble that God went to get us to the place where we could fellowship with him? What did it cost him? Jesus. He must have been very interested. I think it was painful for God to have to be at a distance through all the Old Testament. The best they could do is send a high priest in once a year, him with fear and trepidation, into the Holy of Holies, into the sort of the presence of God, but not near like what we have available to us all the time. And right in the middle of a work day, or in the middle of the night, or driving the car, or any time at all, we can experience that presence and that fellowship with God. Certainly should experience, as we're here today, as a congregation, experience the presence of God and not be living like we're alienated from the life of God. Even if you're having a rough day, the life of God is still right there. If you got up this morning and seemed like everything went wrong, the life of God is still in you as a child of God. Eternal life is not just living forever. Everybody's going to live forever. Every one of you sitting here this morning are going to live forever. It's the situation that you live forever in, or who lives in you, that makes all the difference in the world. Because of the blindness of their heart, verse 18 goes on. Because of the blindness of their heart. This word for blindness, it could be translated spiritually dull. Dull spiritual perceptivity. Spiritual blindness. Hardness, callousness. You know that whole thing I've talked to you a lot about before, when you're using a part and you've rubbed it a lot and it develops a callus, there's some purposes in that sometimes, but you get so you can't feel there. And we need to be able to feel God. We need to be able to sense God. We need to be able to know what He's doing and know what He wants to do in us and through us. And people that are living like just another person out there in the world lose that sensitivity. Nobody wants to be around an insensitive person. Insensitive husbands, insensitive wives, insensitive parents, insensitive kids. Causes problems in relationships. But we don't have to be that way. When you're sensitive to God, you can be sensitive to the people around you. But you lose that when you lose this purpose of the purpose of your life, having a life with a sense of purpose, not knowing, forgetting that you're here on purpose, forgetting that God's in you, all these things. When you live your life like that's, this is the depth of my life. I got to get up in the morning, got to go to work, got to come home from work, got to get some food on the table, whatever the pattern of your life is. It's meant to be deeper than that. It's meant to be more sensitive than that. It's meant to be a fellowship with God all the time. Amen. Do you have something to share?
I read these scriptures and it just hits me. It says he's talking about having their understanding darkened, seeing being alienated from the life of God because the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, and just realizing, the understanding became darkened because they're alienated from the life of God. In other words, they don't have an understanding that they are righteous. They don't have an understanding of grace and righteousness. He says because of the blindness of their heart. This is the person who, this is the way it is. This is what I believe. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't care what you tell me. This is the way, I've believed this all my life, and I'm going to continue to do life this way. And this is the type of person it's their blindness of their heart. So it's the opportunity is there. The possibility is there for, what Wayne's talking about. But because this person refuses to change, they refuse to be open to what God is speaking, then this is how they end up. And it's a miserable life. But every one of us have the possibility of going this direction, if we continue, and become this person. But all of us are supposed to be, like Wayne's talking about, our lives should be enthusiastic. When we have a recognition that I am righteous, a recognition I am accepted, I am loved, I am holy, I am forgiven, how can I not be enthusiastic about life? Circumstances, are still there to deal with, but when I know who I am, and then enthusiasm just comes from the inside out. I don't have to do something to become enthusiastic. This is who I am because I'm a child of God.
Amen. You know what I think? What I think brings us down to that level, because Diane brought up righteousness. What brings us down to that level that we don't want to stay is we know that we're dealing with stuff. We know that we may have habits that we're trying to give up. We're still treating people in a way we know we shouldn't. We're working on those things. But when you forget the righteousness part and just you're trying to live life, just striving to get it right yourself, then life doesn't seem very enthusiastic. Doesn't seem very good. But you come back to know, positionally, you are righteous. This is how God has accepted you. This is how God's made you. And yeah, we're all working at things, but God is working in us. His grace is working in us. His ability to do what we couldn't do on our own. Amen. Then enthusiasm begins to come back. Praise God. Now, it goes on in verse 19 to say, who being past feeling, to have ceased to care. It's where we get our word apathy. And this is why I wanted to look through these scriptures, because in a sense you could say the opposite of enthusiasm is apathy. And my goodness, is there a lot of that today? read stories about, I was just looking at for illustrations in the online, and you read stories about, there was a woman who was attacked in the parking lot of a big apartment building, and they said like 40-some people saw and heard what was going on. And the guy attacked her and hurt her and then kind of ran away and then came back again and came back the third time and finally killed her. And all these people just didn't want to be involved. There's a lot of that going on. It shouldn't be there at all, but it certainly shouldn't be amongst Christian people. Just go to the other side of the street and not want to get involved. It goes all the way back, if you think about it, to the story of the Good Samaritan. The religious people came along and just, I don't want to get involved in that, and walked on. We aren't responsible for our brothers and sisters, but we are responsible to our brothers and sisters. And you know, enthusiastic people have no problem with that. You might step out and try to help somebody out and get misunderstood, but enthusiastic people are going to do it anyway. I said that we're going to do it anyway. Amen?
Amen.
Past feeling. Cease to care. And if you think about it, a lot of it goes back to that not seeing yourself as having any purpose in life. And without purpose, you know, why care? Why get involved? We're not supposed to be apathetic. And then it goes on to say, giving themselves over to lewdness, no restraint, anything goes, whatever feels good, do it. Sound familiar? Sound like the world around us? But we're not supposed to live like the world around us. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Some other translations say, which leads to excessive practices of all sorts of immorality. Another translation says, feeling no pain, they let themselves go into sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion.
It's just, you know, the purpose deal. If in the days that we live in, I mean, it's always been this way, but the days that we live in, the only purpose for me, you know, it's 61 years old, the only purpose I have for living is Jesus.
Amen.
You know, if it wasn't for Jesus, what's the point? Just because that's how society is. But the thing is, for myself, I have found, you know, over the past 10 years, I went and I, you know, didn't get to the, you know, the lewdness and stuff, but the feeling of hopelessness, you know, I've been there. And realize what's, you know, without focusing my life on God, without having that relationship, without having fellowship with God on a regular basis, why bother being here? And we have to watch that, because it's very easy as Christians, you know, today to get that point. You know, I heard about talking with teenagers and how many teenagers are at this point. Why are teenagers the way they are? They have no purpose. Why bother? You know, why work for, you know, why try to get a good education? Why try to do well in school? Why bother to be obedient to my parents, you know? What's the point? You know, why don't I just, you know, like Wayne was just saying, why don't I just live for myself? But the thing is, the teenagers, the kids are learning it from us as adults. Because if there is no enthusiasm in our life, that's an indication. Our relationship with God is, in, you know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is not where it's supposed to be. Because that's where our purpose comes from. That's where our enthusiasm comes from, is Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, anything else, you know, like Wayne's talking about, it becomes works. And it becomes, we do go in this direction. You know, we do. You know, it may not be sexual sin, but it's just our lives, you know, we just pull away from God. And generally it's a slow thing. It's not a quick thing.
Yep.
But we have to focus. We have to do our part on that relationship, or we're going to go in the direction Wayne's talking about.
If you mark in your Bible, you could put in this section of verses, downward spiral, because that's really what it becomes. And one thing feeds on the other, feeds on the other, feeds on the other. And we find ourselves in a place that we never thought we'd be. And you know, you look at other people sometimes, you think, how in the world did they get to that place? Probably like this. Probably following down that path. And you know, when you're, again, I read this book by Andy Stanley, talking about the law of the path, and just stating the simplicity of, if you're on a road that's leading you somewhere you don't want to go, get off the road. You can believe all kinds of things, but if you stay on the road, it's going to take you to that place. And, you know, lining up to what Diana's saying, I think we need to live our life in such a way understanding that people are watching us, young people are watching us, older people. And if they're looking and saying, man, I hope I'm not like that when I get to be that age, obviously we're doing something wrong. And we can change. Amen? Amen? Now, you know that right on from here, the next few verses go into talking about put off the old man, put on the new man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Obviously, we can put these things off. We can come off that road. We need to choose enthusiasm over futility and alienation and callousness and apathy. Put the all those things off and put on enthusiasm. Christ Jesus is an enthusiastic man of God, the God himself, and we can be enthusiastic too. Now, I was saying to you that I was looking online at some illustrations in the direction of apathy, because you know sometimes you need to recognize what the wrong stuff looks like so you can say I'm going to come out of here. So there was a story. In fact, I've heard this a lot of times. There was a coach of the former coach of the Utah Jazz basketball team in the 70s, brought one of his players in that he was having problems with. Just guy very talented, just not really producing much. And he said to him, I just don't know what it is with you. Is it ignorance or apathy? And the player said to him, Coach, I don't know, and I don't care. Think about that. Where did that come from? Ignorance or apathy? That sounds like both of them, doesn't it? Did you hear about the company that makes blank bumper stickers? They're for people who don't want to get involved. And then somebody else said the nice thing about apathy is you don't have to exert yourself to show you're sincere about it. It's kind of funny, but in the same sense, it's kind of sad because too many people are living their life that way. If you don't know Jesus, you need to come over to Jesus and accept him and then understand that there's a great life here. Yes, the times are difficult. It's prophesied that we'd be down to this place. But in the midst of all this, it's a great time to be a child of God. You know that there's a promise in the Word, a prophecy in the Word, that before it all comes together, there'll be a great revival. There'll be a great coming back to God, or coming to God in the first place. And that hasn't happened to a great degree yet. But I talked to Dr. Lemon, and he keeps hearing it's coming. It's not just, you know, we'll prosper financially and those kind of things, but we're going to prosper at a great spiritual wave of God. And it sounds to me like we're right in the midst of that. Amen. And we ought to be excited about it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Serve God.
Thank you, Lord.
When it comes down to it, I think apathy is a heart problem. In fact, I think apathy is a heart disease. But it can be healed. It can be put off.
Amen.
You know, I think we all need to really take a look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves and be willing to say some of these attitudes are just, they just stink. They need to go. I was just talking to Diane this morning about some things I see in me, and I know that's got to go, but I know how to get rid of it now, praise God. I know how to put off that stuff and put on the right stuff. You don't have to say, well, it's just me, that's who I am, or blame it on temperament or something like that. It can go, it can change, praise God. Great price has been paid so it can change. So be excited, praise God. Today's a good day, tomorrow's going to be a better day for those of us who are serving God. Enthusiasm is a heart condition too. But it's a good one. And you can put that on. It can be renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right, so promote enthusiasm. Be an enthusiasm promoter. Be excited and get other people excited. You are having some effect on the people around you. You need to ask yourself, what effect is it? When you come home to your family, is it uplifting? Or is it, oh, he's home or she's home? I mean, we need to be honest with ourselves about this. What effect are we having? So here's some things that we can do. When it comes to services, come excited. Come ready to participate, focused. Let me read you some scriptures that you're already aware of. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 in the Amplified Bible says this, "Let us consider and give of attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. I don't know how far the day off is, but it's another day closer today. You need to be excited about it. Go ahead.
Can I have a mic so I can sell everybody?
Okay.
I gotta let you know, I am gonna be excited on my birthday. And this is really gonna happen. I prayed to God over 4 months, and 4 months later, before my birthday, this is like, I had a meeting with all my caseworkers. Family gonna stop smoking.
Praise God. All right.
On my 50th birthday.
Amen.
And I prayed to God almost every month and a half before I could do this. But there's gonna be a lot of frustration for me. I'm gonna pray for God if I can get over it. When I do, I wouldn't even have a chance to know what I did. It's going to be excited. And we're going to have a party at Erie Boulevard. Everybody is welcome to come. It's going to be every Thursday between 5 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So if everybody's welcome to come, come. We're going to have pizza and wings.
Be excited. Praise God. See, that's a reason to be excited. Praise God. Making a change in life. You know, I don't think that we realize that, talking about coming together, and John's excited this morning, that how much we need each other. And how much we depend and sometimes get let down by each other. But when it comes to coming together, we need to serve God individually, but we serve God together. And you know, it starts with coming. Of course, you know I can't preach to the people that aren't here. But it's important to be a regular part of what's going on because we need each other. And just, you know, something about being excited about something that's going to happen in his life is big. And we need people to be excited about that with us. You know, when you're all excited about something and you share it, and then another person goes, yeah, there's no uplifting in that. There's no encouragement in that. But when we can be excited with each other, because we're all facing challenges, but we have great help on the inside, and we need to have help on the outside too.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20, or excuse me, 18 through 20, in the Message translation says this. I like the wording of this. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge draughts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God, the Father, in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. Shouldn't even be just in church, but it certainly should be when we come together. It shouldn't be that the worst group has to get up here and say, come on, please. Worship a little. Be excited. They ought to look excited up there. Amen?
Amen.
And we ought to look excited out here. See, sometime we're going to do it. We're going to get Bill to put the cameras in. You're going to see yourself and what you look like out there. And after you get over the fear of that. Just kidding. So come to services and be excited. And hang around enthusiastic people. When you find somebody that's enthusiastic, stay around them. You know, praise God for enthusiastic people. Praise God. You know, there's a big difference when Doreen isn't here on a Sunday morning. How many of you noticed that? Like last week. But we forgive you. No, she can, you know, they got to spend time with her for their family and everything too. But there's something about enthusiasm. There's something about enthusiastic people. And, you know, Melody scaring us every once in a while when she gets excited. Praise God. We need that. We come back down and hit the ground running. Praise God. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, Amplified, do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. Just like hanging around the wrong people will bring you down. Hanging around the right people will bring you up, praise God. Think about the what you receive when you're around people that you see on a regular basis and the effect that they have on you. Sometimes we may need to make choices about how much time we're going to spend around certain people. But when you think about, boy, I'm going to be with so-and-so, and that's going to be exciting, that's the kind of people we should be and hang around those. And it comes from interesting places. I think I was thinking that there's something about grandchildren. Children in general, but now I'm on that level with grandchildren. Not that I'm not excited about children, too. There's something about grandchildren, and you know, especially when they're very, you know, toddlers and so on. They're excited about everything.
Amen.
I think maybe that's what it is that, you know, stirs up something in us. Jeff and I and the two grandchildren went to lunch on Friday, and we're on our way back, and there's a big truck there, and I said to Wyatt, I said, Pop used to drive big trucks. I said, I'm Pop, and they're there too, and Grandpa with others, and we have to keep all these grandparents straight, right? Isn't that right? I'm Pop anyway. And so I said to him, Pop used to drive big trucks. I said, really? And you know, tell him about different things that I drove. He said, you? And most of the rest of the way back to the church, he's all excited about it, you know. And then I was telling him he used to ride with my dad, and we'd pick up the milk at the farms and take it to the dairies. And so then we got on silos. He was all excited about silos, praise God, because he has a barn at home and has a silo on it. And then we're looking for barns that have silos, you know. Just life becomes exciting when that's the way that you look at life. So why can't we still do that when we're 65 or 35 or whatever it happens to be? Be excited about life, praise God. Nora's excited about everything. She doesn't have a word for it, but she's excited about it, praise God. And then lastly, get up and do something.
Amen.
You know, there seems to be something, but yeah, get up and do something. Really didn't intend it to go that way, but it did. So, I may forget what I was going to say. No, there seems to be a tie in the Bible between laziness and lack of excitement. Just that you're going to get up and do something. There's going to be some excitement in it. Do something, and no matter how far we get along, you know, just get out of bed in the morning. Do something, and when you begin to do something, you know, the motivation begins to happen. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Amplified Bible. Arise from the depression and prostration in which the circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, shine. Do something. Be excited, praise God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's worship.